Hi guys, and welcome back to Clueless, the podcast. So, if you don't know where you're going in your life or where you want to go next, then this is the podcast for you. We're here to share our stories and hear from your experiences and hopefully inspire you guys to follow the career that you want to do and live the life that you want to live. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on Instagram at @Clueless_the_podcast_.
Our next guest is entrepreneur and all-around girl boss, Emma Sinclair. After working in a variety of industries from bar work to broadcasting for Scottish Television, Emma decided to follow her dream of starting her own business. From there, she set up fashion label House of LBD and her own social media agency, The Social Cow, which have both gone from strength to strength, and she hasn't looked back since.
We'll be discussing what's really like to start your own business, the ups and downs of being your own boss, how Emma found her passion for being an entrepreneur, and advice that she'd give for young people looking to follow a more unconventional career path.
Right, so firstly, thanks so much, Emma, for coming onto the podcast. We're so looking forward to finding out just a bit more about yourself and how you became the girl boss you are today. So kind of first question, for those that don't know you, could you tell us just a little bit more about yourself and kind of what you do?
Sure, thanks. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. My name is Emma Sinclair, and I am an entrepreneur, if you like. I've got two businesses. My first business is House of LBD, which is a personalized accessories brand that I've had for about 3 years now. And my second business, which I launched just over 2 years ago, is called The Social Cow. And it's a social media agency that helps brands to flourish and drive sales online.
Nice. Amazing. Wow. Very good intro. Yeah. So before you kind of like started all this then, you know, you went to uni and stuff. What did you study at uni? And then, yeah, what did you think that you know, what kind of career were you looking to do before you kind of started all your businesses?
So one thing that, you know, I guess a lot of other entrepreneurs will agree with me when you say, I think people are just born entrepreneurs. I was always that person. Even when I was younger, I was that person that was selling things in the street just to get a Blue Peter badge. I was working from a very young age, just doing lots of silly different things just to make money, I guess.
Yeah.
And all through school, I wasn't really the academic type, to be honest. I was definitely, you know, drama and art and PE and things were always my preferred subjects. So when it came to the time of going to uni, I didn't honestly know what I wanted to do. At that point, I was 18, I think. I left school and I went to college because I didn't get all of my hires in school. So the time it came to going to uni, I was 18, 19, and I had started working in nightclubs. And I actually quickly worked my way up as a PR, became a PR manager, and then at the age of 20 was like creating club nights
for different nightclubs. What clubs in Glasgow?
So I started off at Bamboo.
Oh yeah. I love Bamboo.
I don't know if
we're familiar.
Yeah. And then I ended up at Sugar Cube.
Oh, I've actually never been.
Ever. You guys are, yeah.
We're 23, but I've never been.
Okay, yeah, it's shut down now, but yeah, it kind of launched when TOWIE came around, and oh my gosh, it was just crazy. It was very, very TOWIE, so it doesn't exist anymore. And if you were to ask me to go back and work there now, then absolutely no way. But anyway, I was running various different club nights, and obviously, you know, got really heavily invested into the event side of things. I was always, you know, someone that just liked to be organising everything. So I then went to uni and I studied event and business marketing. I think this is what my degree is in. And I actually graduated after third year because I then got offered a job at Scottish Television. Someone that I knew actually worked there, and they were creating this new role at STV. I don't know if you're familiar with the Capital Street Stars.
Capital Radio.
So STV basically wanted to create a team of them for you know, the different programs on the television and things. So I ended up getting that job before I had even finished uni. I went and I started working there 3 months before I finished uni, and they actually, you know, they employed me full time, but they did let me go off to uni and finish my exams and graduate. So it's just something that I always find very interesting. I think a lot of people pressure themselves into having to have a degree, and I definitely don't think that you do.
That's so cool. You've done it like back the way, like you've had you've worked in all these places and then got the experience and then got yourself a job and then finished uni, which is so cool. It's very like it's different from the norm.
I guess when I started working at nightclubs, I never thought that that would, you know, help me get a job in a corporate environment, but it was absolutely my experience from those jobs that landed me my first full-time job.
It's so cool that actually, you know, maybe doing a bit more unconventionally, like working at these nightclubs and things, and actually having that time even before university or like while you're at university really helped you career-wise and actually kind of got you the job in the end, which is pretty cool. So
go ahead. I was just saying, like, I've worked like throughout summer, like after uni and stuff, I'd always be working in bars and stuff, like, and I still talk about that in like job interviews. So like, don't underestimate, like, for people that might be listening and like be working at these like cafe jobs or bar jobs, like, don't underestimate them, because they're
definitely
actually,
not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was doing kind of PR for a bar in Edinburgh as well. So yeah, and that's kind of helped me get the job I have. So yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
So how did you actually find that kind of going into the working world then after university, like that kind of transition? Did you find it quite an easy transition, or
I really enjoyed my time at STB, to be honest. It was really the perfect role for me. It was a brand new role, and it was something for me to just sort of create and make happen. So it's not like I was kind of having to fit into someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
So I think that just, you know, kind of overall did make it a bit more enjoyable just for me personally, because I had the opportunity to just still have that freedom of doing what I wanted, if that makes sense. I found I absolutely loved my time there. It was fun.
It does seem like fun. You do all those little street things, like I've heard of them. It seems like a really fun, exciting job.
Yeah, and it was still, you know, very in line with what I had been doing before. I mean, I had to recruit a team of PR. So I had a team of like PRs, if you like, in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dundee and Aberdeen. And then I just had to, you know, manage those teams. And it was the same sort of thing. You know, we were going out and about on the road promoting the different programmes. So, yeah, I guess, you know, the concept was very much the same as what I had been used to doing, just, of course, in a different environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was that transition was fine for me.
Yeah. How old were you when you like started that job?
I think I must have been about, so I'm 28 now, so I think I must have been 24.
Cool.
23, 24. Yeah.
Cool. So you're working there. When did you kind of think, right, like, now, you know what, I want to start my own business? And how did the idea to kind of start your own fashion brand come about?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I had always been quite entrepreneurial. I don't really think of myself, to be honest, as someone who is fashionable. You know, it's not like I ever had a passion for fashion or anything like that. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't, you know, spend my whole life dreaming of having my own fashion line or anything like that. It was more the actual entrepreneurial business side of things. Mm-hmm. And at the time, a few years ago, I did have a business partner at the time, and I met her actually through my job at STB. And I was very aware that at that time was just, you know, the absolute boom of online fashion brands. So, you know, all these boutiques were popping up everywhere. Everyone round about me was starting their own online fashion brands. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon. Yeah. So that's sort of where it all began. So House of LBD did actually originally start as a company that sold dresses. And
was it the little black dress? Is that what the
We obviously launched. We wanted to find something, you know, what was our USP going to be? Mm-hmm. And you know, just me personally and my personal style, I'm quite minimalistic. You know, I like just the whole black and white plain sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. I'm not a colourful person. So we decided that, well, you know, if we could become this home of just black dresses, everybody loves a little black dress. And if we can just offer a variety of different styles of them, then that would kind of set us apart from everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that's how House of LBD was then born. We launched that. We sourced the worst dresses that you've ever seen.
Oh, no.
I still cannot believe that we tried to even sell them.
No way.
So yeah, we sourced them from China. We, you know, modeled them ourselves, put them up online, the most horrific images ever. And you know, the poor friends and family around us that just felt sorry for us for the first couple of months were the only people that bought. So that was interesting. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, we slowly just began to, and you know, again, another sort of learning or interesting point for everyone listening is, you know, having a passion for something, I do, like, especially in fashion, like I didn't have that passion for fashion in particular. It was more just the business side of things. And I think that's probably what, you know, affected us at that time. So anyway, the business kind of died a death for a few months. We didn't really do much with it at all, and then it was coming up to Christmas of that year, and we were thinking, right, what, you know, people buy at Christmas time, so what products can we launch that they will be interested in buying? And we, myself and my ex-business partner at that point, the following year, the previous year, we both got Burberry scarves. So we had Burberry scarves where you can get your initials embroidered onto them.
I know the ones.
Familiar. So we both got them, and we knew a few other people that had got them as well. So I then went online and thought, there's not really any kind of high street equivalent of this product. You know, obviously it's a few hundred pounds, I think, for a scarf, and not everybody wants to be paying that. So long story short, we then decided, right, that's what we'll do. We'll do scarves where you can embroider your initials on them. And we'll start with black scarves because, you know, that's obviously our thing. It's our branding. That's what we've sort of got going for us. So, yeah, and then we launched that, and we sold about 500 scarves, I think, in the first few weeks.
It just is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it absolutely took off, and it really sort of cemented, okay, you know, this is, we're onto something good here, and this is what we can produce, a product that people want. And, so, you know, from there, we just kind of branched out into more personalized accessories, and then a couple of months after that, we obviously changed the name. You know, we've kept House of LBD, but when anyone asks, it just stands for Little Black Designs.
So that's pretty good.
So all of the designs that I create now are, you know, they always start black, and then we'll introduce different colors of accessories as well.
That's cool. That's so amazing. You kind of like, you've seen, like, you were like, oh, this doesn't really work, and then kind of like adapted, and now you've blown up.
When did you sort of realize, like, oh, this is really working out now? And what do you think the main factor was that kind of came into that? Was it a lot of marketing that helped, or what kind of made it take off?
So when we first launched, my personal account, I didn't really have that much of a following at all at the time, but I was very aware of just, you know, looking at various other companies that are out there. I was very aware that, you know, if people know who I am, then it's going to be a lot easier for me to sell things. And I really just sort of ran with that, to be honest. So I put a lot of time and effort into building my own personal Instagram account. And that grew really quite quickly. So by the time, you know, we had the success of the scarves, and we realized we were going down the route of the personalized accessories side, it really helped massively that I had built up that platform of my own. And, you know, obviously we're in an era at the moment where people want to know the story behind brands.
Totally.
That was absolutely one of the biggest drivers for us at the time. You know, Instagram back then was a lot easier than what it is now. In terms of just growing an audience base and generating customers, it was, you know, there wasn't as much competition as what's now become in the last few years. So again, that just sort of made things a bit easier. Our account grew quite quickly through that as well. It was all Instagram marketing.
That's cool.
Yeah, Instagram is kind of just where it's at the moment, all the influencer marketing, like, definitely. So kind of just going back a bit, for the early stages of your business, like, was it quite difficult to keep going? Was there a lot of kind of self-doubt? Like, what kind of challenges in that kind of sense did you face?
I would probably say the age that I was at was probably quite a good age. I think if I had started now, I would be I don't know, just thinking a lot more and worrying a lot more about what other mm-hmm. people thought. But at that time, I just was very focused on me and what we were doing. Yeah. So, you know, and of course, it's not like, you know, I had left a full-time job and this needed to work and it was my only option. So when we first launched, it was just, you know, and when it was the dress company, it was just a side hustle. We really didn't take it all that seriously. We didn't launch with a business plan, you know, to like expand to be this humongous business. We were sort of just riding the waves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So when it didn't work out, you know, it wasn't as much of a blow as I guess some people maybe think it would be.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just a, oh, okay, this isn't really working. Again, we'll just keep riding the waves and we'll wait for the right thing to come along. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that, you know, I try and remind myself of that. You know, now I work for myself, I am self-employed, I don't have, you know, like a full-time wage from another company paying me anymore. It's very much this kind of has to work, but it's really important to not put that pressure on yourself, because yeah. when you start to put the pressure on, that's when everything just becomes extremely overwhelming and mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10 doesn't work. So yeah, I mean, in terms of challenges, we weren't really faced with anything major at that point, and we were lucky that it was just a bit of a side hustle and we were unaware of what it would become.
Totally. Well, that's kind of like, it kind of goes on to my next question then, because obviously it's not just that business that you're running, you're also running the Social Cow. So how do you find, like, how is it managing multiple businesses? Like, do you feel, I guess you manage the pressure quite well, but like it must be quite stressful having like two businesses to kind
It is difficult, to be honest. And I think at the time when, so the Social Cow launched just about a year after House of LBD, mm-hmm. and it launched because, you know, I do now have a passion for social media, because I've seen, you know, it's how helpful it's been for me in building a business and making money. And, you know, I'm really invested in just how important it is actually to have when you're running a business nowadays.
Yeah.
So when I launched the Social Cow, because after we launched House of LBD and the immediate success that we had via Instagram, a lot of people that I then knew started coming to me and asking me to help them run their businesses on Instagram. So I started to help just, you know, friends, like the lady that did my eyebrows at the time, just go meet for coffee and give her tips and things.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, if I start paying you, could you just do it for me? And so that's how that business then sort of launched and grew. And that grew really very quickly, because I don't think, well, there wasn't much around at the time that could help other small businesses, you know, and certainly people who just had no interest in social media or Instagram at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that it really was the Social Cow that actually allowed me to then leave my full-time job. It is difficult, but you know, the businesses kind of work hand in hand. I've got an office now in Glasgow, so my House of LBD stock room and our machinery for personalizing the items is based here, and then I've literally got an office next door, which is our Social Cow office. And so House of LBD mm-hmm. is just really treated as a Social Cow client. So
yeah, totally.
All of the marketing and everything that we do is all just, you know, I've got staff that work for the Social Cow, and you know, House of LBD is just one of our clients. So from that side, it works really well. I've now just employed my mum. So she works within House of LBD and deals with all the sort of customer service and fulfillment side of things. And so, yeah, it's all just quite close-knit, which definitely makes it a lot easier. And, you know, I travelled a lot last year. My partner, he lives out in Dubai, and I spent a lot of time out there, and that was really difficult for me. So mm-hmm. now this year that I've been back and I'm in the one place and I've got both businesses, you know, I'm here every day. It makes it a lot easier. But yeah, I think when you've got multiple businesses, you just sort of have to find a way that they can both work for each other. And for me, you know, trying to, you know, drive sales and new clients through the Social Cow, I have House of LBD to sort of resonate with my clients and really understand the struggles and trials and tribulations of having your own business.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I know that they really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, great. I mean, so many people like dream of having their own business, like doing what you're doing, having your own employees, like having your mom work for you must be pretty cool. But kind of, yeah, just what is the reality of that like? I know you kind of went into that, but yeah, your typical day, is it quite full on? Do you have to like sacrifice much time?
Like, I mean, my whole life is work, but you know, going back to what I said earlier on, that's just been me my whole life. Like my whole life, even when I was like 6, 7, 8, you know, I remember my grandparents used to tell me that when I was about 5 or 6, I used to ask them to set up a shop for me, and I would, you know, have the phone and I would be taking people's orders and everything. And that's all I wanted to play with and do when I was younger. It was just, and so, yeah, you know, I feel like a real true entrepreneur that can make it through the waves of just the trials and tribulations and everything that you come across when you are an entrepreneur. You know, I think you've just got to be born with it inside you. A typical day for me is, you know, my days normally start about 5:30, 6. I get up
in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
No, Zara is literally the worst.
I am such an early bird. Like, wow, come 3 o'clock, I'm useless. Like, useless.
That's the opposite of me. I like go to bed at like 3 a.m. and then like in the morning, anytime past like 9 is fine, but like no way.
9, Zara. I feel like it's past 11 for you.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a weirdo, but yeah. So you know, I get up relatively early. I do like to try and fit a workout in, which is good. I then obviously travel to the office. I like to try and be in the office at like 8, 8:30. I then have, you know, the girls or the staff coming in at like 9. So I like to just kind of have that time to look at my day and make sure, you know, that I'm going to be able to fit everything in.
Yeah.
Lists is a massive, massive thing for me. I write everything down, and it's really only something that I have adopted over, I would say, probably the past 12 to 14 months. I used to just think, oh, just wing it, you know, I'll be fine, I'll remember everything. But it definitely doesn't work that way. So yeah, lists are a massive thing for me. So most mornings I'll go through the lists. The staff will come in, I'll have, you know, some meetings with them. Any calls that I need to take, I normally try and take them in the morning, which just obviously frees up my afternoon to actually get my head down and do the work. And then, don't get me wrong, like, I would say 60% of the time I would sit in the office until like 8, 9 o'clock at night and then head home.
God.
But yeah, I get, you know, it's just one of these things. I think I have learned over the past 12 months just the importance of really actually being organized and how that can just help with, you know, the time that you've got in the day. And again, you know, I need to realize that I have got a life outside of work. And you know, I've got a boyfriend and I've got friends and I've got family, and it's really important that I just remind myself sometimes that I need to spend that quality time with them.
I guess it's hard as well when you run a business, like you just could do it like all day. It's not like a 9 to 5.
Exactly. It's very easy to just get caught up on it. And I mean, you know, even if I do finish work early, and my boyfriend will be the first to tell you that it doesn't mean that I just switch off and that's it. You stop talking about it. You know, you might be at home, but I think just in terms of you know, like how hard it is hard. It's really hard. You know, you can wake up one day and feel like you're on absolute cloud nine. And you know, I think even me speaking just now, it probably sounds like, oh wow, that's great. You know, you've got your mum working for you. You've got these businesses. You've got an office, but you know, the amount of breakdowns that you have, the day you wake up and you just think, why am I doing this? You know, I had a day like that not that long ago, and I was just like saying to my boyfriend, like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I actually putting myself through this? I think I'll just go and get a job. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh no, like, no, this is good. Like, I'm here for this.
Yeah, totally. Well, it seems like you got the perfect like mindset and attitude to have to be, you know, a successful entrepreneur, and you've been grinding since day one. So like, how has it been like, being like a female in the kind of, you know, running your own business? Like, is it any different? I mean, obviously you don't know, but like, how is it?
Yeah, it's, that's, an interesting question. And again, you know, when I first started out in business, I was probably very just narrow-minded and naive to that. And I would always hear, and I would never really, like, I would all, you know, 3 years ago is when this whole, like, you know, females in business and, like, boss girl thing came about. And it was all about, you know, just how great girls can be. And I was very naive to that. And I just thought, don't really want to get, like, too involved in that. Like, I just kind of want to get on with being me and doing me. But with House of LBD, it's fine. You know, it's a very sort of female-led business anyway. It's all fashion accessories and, you know, suppliers and things that you deal with. They're obviously used to just dealing with young girls. So I don't really find that a struggle with that side of things. But yeah, I have sort of, you know, had moments with the social cow where, you know, if I'm trying to, you know, sign a new corporate client, or if I'm going into sort of corporate environment, then yeah, you do just sit very aware of, you know, you're this young girl in a room of men, and you're trying to, you know, really get your point across and be taken seriously. And I do feel the pressure with that. I can't really say that I have any, you know, tips or advice for overcoming it. I think you just have to, you know, trust your gut and be quite strong minded and just, you know, remain you and just do you really. And, you know, if people, you know, see that and appreciate it, then great. And if not, then they're obviously, you know, you're not meant to be working with them.
Totally.
Does that answer that question?
Yeah, no, 100% does. Yeah, so just coming to the end of it now, Emma, you've been great so far, very inspirational. What kind of advice would you maybe give to a uni student or someone who's maybe in their early 20s and just isn't sure what next steps to take? What kind of advice would you give to them?
My biggest advice would be, you know, it's just a quote that I absolutely live by, is just trust your gut. And I think that can sound just a bit like, oh, right, okay, it's what everyone says. But I honestly just, I have learned so many lessons, and I've absolutely been through the motions of realizing the consequences when you don't just trust your gut. You know, you will always have so many people around you that are going to tell you, oh no, I don't think that's a good idea, or oh, what about this, or what if that happens? And, you know, you'll always have the people that play devil's advocate if you're, you know, got your own ideas of a business or whatever it may be that you want to do and go into. But you'll always know deep down inside, and, you know, that obviously stands for any aspect of life. I'm sure we can all agree that the times where we do just trust our gut, then you know you're doing the right thing. And another quote that is just absolutely my go-to, it's the wallpaper on my phone, is just feel the fear and do it anyway. It's going to be scary, it's not going to be easy, you know, but you've just, yeah, trust your gut. It's going to be scary, but just go for it, and whatever's meant to be will be. Like, it will always work out, like, no matter what. There will be waves along the way, but, you know, you'll get to where you need to be in the end.
I think just doing it, you'll never know if you don't try as well. And if you just got that feeling or that urge to do something, then you kind of just have to go for it.
Exactly.
And just trust it.
Totally.
Definitely.
Well, we found you hella inspiring. And I think so many others as well listening are going to find that your story is really cool and unique. Where can everyone find you? Where can they get your clothes? Please plug yourself.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. My personal account is EmmaSinclair01. My personalized accessories business is on Instagram at HouseOfLBD. And if you would like to find The Social Cow, again, you can search on Instagram at The Social Cow Global.
Cool. Perfect. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us. It's been really inspiring, and I think everyone will take something great away from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's been lovely.
Well, thanks again to Emma for coming on the podcast this week. I just think it's so inspiring to hear from someone who's kind of taken the risk to start their own business and just follow what they're passionate about, and kind of just not following like the conventional career path of getting into a job, just taking a bit of a risk and doing something you're actually passionate about. And also just hearing from someone like who's still in their 20s, who's kind of managing two businesses, I just think that's such an achievement and really, really inspiring. I don't know, what did you think of it, Sarah?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's amazing. What, she's like 28 and doing so well and had all these businesses and managed all these different things. And yeah, it's cool to hear that, you know, she's done all this other stuff before it as well. You know, there's not like one set path or way to do something. So yeah, thank you, Emma, for coming on. And as always, guys, don't forget to follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and on Instagram at Clueless the Podcast. And thank you so much for listening, guys, and can't wait to hear from you all and speak to you all next week. Thank you.
See you next week. Bye-bye.